Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical, underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at ZonePouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches. Napa!
Silence is golden, especially when it comes to brakes. That's why Napa Silent Guard are built to be one of the smoothest and most quiet brakes on the market. Made with fiber-reinforced shims that eliminate noise for the life of the pad, rubber-coated hardware for a better fit, and quality design that meets and exceeds OE performance. Silent Guard brakes deliver the stopping power drivers demand. Available now at Napa locations nationwide. Napa!
The following is a production of the Motor Racing Network, the voice of NASCAR. The Motor Racing Network presents NASCAR Live.
Still side by side for the lead off turn four. White flag goes in the air. Three wide for the lead. Tyler Reddick will lead this lap. Reddick will take the lead in Kansas.
Tyler Reddick all the way to the infield grass. He'll have the lead when they hit turn number one. Logano to the inside. Jones to the outside. Here comes Denny Hamlin 3D.
Eric Jones throws the block on Hamlin out of two. Hamlin tries to the inside but can't. Tyler Reddick will lead the field off the end of the back straightaway for the final time.
Out front when it mattered the most. And here he comes off four. Checkered flag waving at the start-finish line. And Tyler Reddick will score the win.
I got lucky and was able to get to the, like, top of three, you know, to the inside of Kyle Busch. And just found clean air and was able to just carry the momentum onward. And it just seemed like all day long when two people got side by side down the front stretch, this TRD engine just pulled down straightaways and got us right by them.
NASCAR Live is brought to you by Toyota. For the latest Toyota racing information, visit toyotaracing.com. From the MRN studios in Concord, North Carolina, here is your host, Mike Bagley.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to NASCAR Live here on the Motor Racing Network. Mike Bagley and the entire MRN crew here with you after we have buttoned up a racing weekend at the Monster Mile in Dover, Delaware, and we head now to the plains of Kansas. On tonight's show, Rajah Caruth of the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series will stop by. He had a chance to visit with Chris Wilner earlier today. We'll also discuss how 2311 racing has been so dominant at Kansas in recent years. We'll put a bow on our podcast highlighting the 2004 season. Dave Moody and Winston Kelly will join me for a fast forum. Plus, we'll examine the evolution of Kansas Speedway. But first, Kyle Rickey is here with a check of the latest headlines in NASCAR. Kyle?
Mike, the entry lists for Kansas Speedway are out, and this weekend's Advent Health 400 will have some familiar faces. For the fourth time this season, Jimmy Johnson will pilot the number 84 for Legacy Motor Club. One major question mark for the organization is whether or not Eric Jones will return to racing this weekend. The driver is listed, but no official announcement has been made, as Jones suffered a back injury at Talladega Super Speedway 2 weeks ago. Corey Heim filled the seat last week, finishing 25th in his Cup Series debut. Other notable names entered include Austin Hill, Riley Herbst, and Derek Krause. And the throwback weekend is right around the corner, and Henrik Motorsports has announced that the number 48 of Alex Bowman will honor Jimmy Johnson and Chad Knaus with a special paint scheme at Darlington Raceway. The design will have Ally on the car, but with the colors that are synonymous with Knaus and Johnson's 7 NASCAR Cup Series championships. Mike.
Thank you, Kyle. Coming up, Rajah Caruth will join us.
Whelan Engineering, a global leader in the emergency warning industry, designs and manufactures reliable and powerful warning lights, white illumination lighting, sirens, controllers, and warning systems for the automotive, aviation, and mass notification industries worldwide. Whelan products are designed, sourced, and manufactured in America and tested on site to meet the toughest industry standards. Whelan Engineering, manufactured in America for over 70 years. We never left, and we're here to stay.
This is NASCAR Live. Now, back to Mike Bagley.
Welcome back to NASCAR Live. Rajah Caruth finally broke through and scored his first NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series win earlier this year in Las Vegas. This weekend, he heads back to a mile-and-a-half racetrack in Kansas Speedway. How has life changed since that win, and can he get number 2 of the season this weekend. Chris Wilner sat down with Raja to find out.
All right, Raja, it's been, what, 3 weeks, I guess, before we get to Kansas since we last were on the racetrack in the Craftsman Truck Series. So how has the 3 weeks been? What do you do during your hiatus to kind of stay sharp before we get back going?
Well, that's a good question, Chris. I think last year we had similar with the truck schedule, right? You have a lot of gaps. And last season I was rushing to fill my off weekends with Xfinity races, with Alpha Prime Racing, whether I would get to run a late model race at some point or just to be driving something every week out of the year for the most part. And now this year, really the opposite of just not put any effort or energy into making that happen from a sponsorship and a connection standpoint. So it's been interesting because it's helped. You know, I think that first off week was kind of nice just to get my bearings, finish the semester. And I'm still finishing it. I'll finish it this week for spring for school. But honestly, like, I think I look at, you know, Taylor and Corey are doing a really good job of running their Xfinity races with Sam Hunt and Joe Gibbs. And it's been good to see them do well because I've raced with those guys for the last couple of years. And I'm like, man, it would be cool if I got to run that 88 for a race or two, right? And Carson's done a really good job as well. So for right now, I've been really just focusing on spending more time at the race shop, but also making sure myself personally is in check from a work ethic standpoint, from a personal standpoint, and just making sure that once we start this next little stretch into the summer that I'm where I need to be at to be a championship contender.
Yeah, it's five straight weeks when we go to Kansas this weekend on through the month of May. So when you evaluate your start to 2024, obviously the big first career win at Vegas, but when you and Chad kind of sit down and say, okay, here's what we've done right, here's what we've done, what we need to work on, where are you guys at in terms of looking ahead to the rest of the year?
Yeah, I think we're in a really good spot. We had a conversation, Chad, my spotter Joey and Josh Wise, we had a conversation before the season started about kind of our identity as a team. And it's interesting because I think it's kind of changed a little bit from being wanting to just finish races to now being a one of the fastest trucks at pretty much every racetrack we've gone to. So that's been an adjustment for me because in racing you get so accustomed to not winning, you know, and not running well. So to have that now be thankfully a constant has been an adjustment for me. So just leaving the racetrack and having a bad taste in your mouth for finishing seventh has been kind of something I've learned and adjusted to this year. So overall, I think we're in a really good spot, and I'm really excited for the next two tracks in particular because I think those are some tracks that I'm really, really stellar at.
Yeah, and that first track coming up is Kansas and the Heart of America 200 this weekend, the third half mile or mile and a half race we've had this year on the schedule. Obviously, it's been, I think, a strong point for you and the 71 team, but what are your thoughts about Kansas and kind of kickstarting this? We got, what, 2 mile and a half in the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, Kansas has been a track I've had, you know, speed at and loved since I've been there. That's the mile and a half I've run the most. I've tested, I've raced there in ARCA, I've run truck races there, Xfinity races. So I feel like I've got a good understanding of that racetrack with its seams and how it changes with rubber and temperature and things of that nature. And it's super windy. So I feel super excited to go back there. And I know my Hendrick Cars truck is going to be really good. It's just a matter of just finishing the race. I think last year, my first time really running up front, last year, in the first Kansas, and I wrecked block and tie, you know, with 70 laps to go in the race. And in the fall, running pretty decent, and then just kind of having a bad end of the race from running, you know, back part of the top 10 to having probably one of the worst Xfinity weekends of my life, from spinning in practice to getting dumped twice in the race. But overall, that's a track that I have a lot of comfort there, and I have a good understanding of the racetrack and what I need in a truck to go fast.
On these mile and a half, you know, we always talk a lot about, and I know the young racers all have to learn quickly about moving air and how to pack air and ways to manipulate that. What have you learned now in your sophomore year of the truck series on how to do that on mile and a half?
Yeah, I think it's just been, I think for one, a lot of the truck guys are good, and it doesn't take much, right, to get to that level. I shouldn't say it like that, but there are a lot of trucks that are good. You know, you look at Spire, look at Tricon, you look at Thor Sport, right, and McAnally. So I think those are the four best teams, and everybody on those teams has really good drivers, you know, so it's, you can have a really good day and still be fifth. So I think for me, it's just, I've been a student of this for so long that I've some of those concepts I really felt like I learned before I even got to start driving, period. So I feel like that's helped me out so far. Besides that, I mean, everybody does their homework. Everybody is prepared. So it's just a matter of being present in the moment and doing the best you can.
And then after Kansas, we go to such a unique racetrack in Darlington. You got sixth there last year, but describe how big of a challenge it is when you have two complete opposite ends of the racetrack. You've got high speeds. It's almost like a mile and a half super speedway-esque kind of racetrack. So how do you prepare for something like a Darlington Raceway?
For sure. So we were on the sim last weekend. We literally went from Kansas to Darlington, and it took me like probably like 10 laps just to get readjusted, just because it's like you go from a racetrack like Kansas or Las Vegas or Texas where literally in terms of being on the throttle, like you don't have to really think twice about getting back to it. Whereas Darlington, it is not that easy. It's easy to blow through your front tire. It's easy to slip the rears. It's just easy to crash. And so fortunately, that track is something that I feel like it's in my wheelhouse for sure. You know, almost winning the race last year and running good there in the Alpha Prime car in the fall. It's just such a fun racetrack. I grew up racing at Florence down the street in Myrtle Beach, not too far away. So the surface is super similar, and it's just overall really fun racetrack. So I'm really excited for the next 2 weeks.
I was going to say, these next 2 weeks, I think, are certainly critical when you look at it. I think there's only 9 races left in the regular season, which mm-hmm. boggles my mind because I feel like we just started 2024. Yeah. But how critical are the next couple of weeks for you guys to put yourself in a position? Obviously, already locked in, but points-wise, to make sure you kick off the playoffs in the
right
spot.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good point. I think we are seventh in regular season points right now, and that's not where I want to be, and I don't think that's where we deserve to be. I think about the 17, the 2, the 98, the 19, like those guys are where we need to be. Same with the 11, and I think we gave away some points last week, or I said 3 weeks ago at Texas, from having to start at the back because of getting a flat tire after qualifying, and I spun out by myself, just giving too much room to the guy on my inside, and then someone blocked me and cut my tire, so we just had not the best race, and didn't get any stage points. So that was a race that could have been a really good opportunity for us, which when some guys had trouble, and we didn't necessarily capitalize, and some of it was self-inflicted on my side of things. So I think about Kansas, Bristol, Martinsville tracks we'll go to in the playoffs, and it's ultra important to perform well at those tracks because we go there a second time, and it's the difference between racing for a championship and not going to Phoenix kind of aimlessly.
And then, by the way, sprinkled on amongst all these races coming up in this 5-week stretch, we've got North Wilkesboro with brand new pavement. Mm-hmm. And I know that's kind of been something where we've watched the test and heard some feedback. What are your expectations for Wilkesboro and how that place is going to race now that we've got fresh new asphalt?
I mean, we'll see in practice. I wanted to go run a late model there, but I don't have 25 grand to do so. So I think it'll be awesome because it'll be a new experience for everybody. I think like I said, some guy like Sammy's run his late model stock there, and Brandon Jones has run a late model, same with a bunch of other different guys, and obviously, you know, the Tricon, the McAnally's, and the Thor Sports, they got to do the tire test. But we'll see when we get there, man. It's a repave's always interesting. I've only been on one really with Atlanta, and that's a whole different topic I don't really want to get
sure,
into, but
yeah.
Will be interesting because I've heard it's kept a lot of its character. It's just going to be – we're going to be going so fast, I feel like, and probably not a lot of tire fall off. Just heat and playing with your fans and not, you know, nuking your stuff. So it'll be interesting. Hopefully it'll be a nice little even playing field just because of the inexperience. I think last year it was interesting because the track had so little grip. I feel like the product wasn't great because there's a difference between having a low grip racetrack versus a racetrack that has nothing, you know, to give. So
yeah.
It'll be awesome for sure.
And then obviously, you know, we're so busy getting ready to kick off a 5-week stretch. How's schoolwork? Winston-Salem State.
All, I mean,
what are you, junior now?
I'm
senior.
I'm a senior this year. So,
oh boy, big year.
Well, I'm mad because I wanted to graduate in the spring, but
yeah.
We literally race on graduation day, May 10th. So, and I'm going to walk across the stage. So I'm going to graduate in December. And it's nice because I can take less classes.
That's true.
This
less
spring.
Workload, right?
Yeah, less workload, you know, over the summer and the fall. So it's getting done with the spring semester this week. And then I can be kind of all eggs in the basket of racing and see how much better I can be.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Raja. Coming up, we'll explore why 2311 Racing has been able to own Kansas Speedway in recent years.
Spit in your hand after stopping, yeah. Not a chair, creaky stair, or even engine repair. Crowd spit in your hand, nothing you can't do. Make your lawn, make your John, or that kitchen hat on. Crowd spit in your hand after stopping, yeah.
From outdoor outdoor care to home and auto repair. Do it with Craftsman. Find the tools, equipment, and storage you need at your local Lowe's, Ace Hardware, or Craftsman.com.
This is NASCAR Live. Now, back to Mike Bagley.
Welcome back to NASCAR Live. Over the years, we've seen multiple examples of teams hitting on something and being able to dominate at a certain racetrack. There's been Hendrick Motorsports at Martinsville, Joe Gibbs Racing at Richmond, and more. The latest example of a team owning a specific racetrack is 2311 Racing and Kansas Speedway. Jason Toy is here with a deep dive on that dominance.
Since the introduction of the next-gen car in 2022, the playing field has been level at most of NASCAR's tracks. Well, except for Kansas Speedway, where 2311 Racing has been absolutely dominant.
Here he comes to the outside of the Chase Briscoe car, coming off the end of the back straightaway. He's put the lap traffic behind him. He's put Kyle Larson behind him. He's put the field behind him. Kurt Busch, the leader.
Here he comes up off of turn number four. Kurt Busch sees the checkered flag, and Kurt Busch wins the Advent Health 400 at Kansas Speedway. Kurt Busch will take Michael Jordan to victory lane in the heartland.
Kurt Busch started the trend in the spring of 2022 that has continued to the present day. The last four cup races at the track have been won by someone sitting in their competition meetings on a weekly basis, a driver or owner of 2311 Racing. That win, though, was a memorable one, as it was the first for Kurt in his debut season for the team. Later that year, 2311 would taste success at Kansas again, but in a unique circumstance. With Kurt Busch sidelined due to injury, Bubba Wallace was tasked with driving the 45 to keep the organization within reach of the owner's points championship. Driver change aside, 2311 powered on.
Here comes Bubba Wallace, final time off the end of the back straightaway. He'll take it to the wall as he works his way off the corner looking for the checkered flag.
Bubba Wallace can see it now. He can virtually coast it in. Checkered flag is in the air, and Bubba Wallace wins the Hollywood Casino 400 at Kansas.
Just really cool. Shout out to everybody standing right here. We were able to sweep Kansas this year. What a testament to a brand new team starting up. Just incredible.
The win marked the second of Bubba's career and his first on an intermediate racetrack. At the same time, it became very clear that the organization had found something that the rest of the competition hadn't. That success carried over from team co-owner Denny Hamlin, who behind the wheel of the 11 for Joe Gibbs Racing took what he learned from his drivers and applied it in the spring of 2023.
Denny Hamlin will have one more shot because there's only one more lap in this event. Here they come to the line. One car length separating Kyle Larson and Denny Hamlin. They're back in one.
Larson goes to the top of the racetrack. Hamlin is right there. He looks to the inside. Larson gets a piece of the fence. Here comes Denny Hamlin. They're side by side. Larson presses the wall again.
Well, Hamlin gets into Larson. Larson's in the fence. Hamlin will make the move. Larson will regroup. Denny Hamlin takes the lead on the back straightaway and pulls away from Larson.
Off turn number four, checkered flag in the air. Denny Hamlin will win the Advent Health 400 at Kansas Speedway. With a battered race car after the wall, Kyle Larson will finish second.
That wasn't what we call a dominant race won by Denny Hamlin. Hamlin had the battle late and piloted a Toyota to victory lane. Now, did Denny take something he learned from his team's competition meeting and apply it to the 11 at JGR? Maybe. But with a JGR driver claiming the checkers, it was thought that maybe 2311's run at Kansas would be over. Well, that wasn't the case.
Tyler Reddick will lead the field off the end of the back straightaway for the final time.
Out front when it mattered the most, and here he comes off four, checkered flag, waving at the start-finish line, and Tyler Reddick will score the win in the Hollywood Casino 400. Tyler Reddick with a three-wide bonsai move off four, coming to the white, holds everybody off, and Tyler Reddick will score the win and advance.
For the third time in four races, a driver piloting the number 45 had won at Kansas Speedway. And for the fourth straight race, someone affiliated with 2311 had won the race. So what makes the organization so good here? Tyler Reddick weighs in.
That's a great question. I think just when we've rolled into that place, we've done a good job of executing and capturing those wins. Certainly, we have a good formula that's been working, but in the next gen era, that's never always guaranteed when you go back. You know, people are going to continue to improve, but versatility, knowing what your car's got and knowing how to kind of move around, find clean air, is always really, really important there. And just, you know, understand the feel of the car and just adapt to it throughout the race and the run. So, yeah, having a guy like Kurt is a valuable asset to this team, and obviously Bubba's able to make it work as well. I feel like we've done a good job of just getting the most out of those weekends when we get there. Hopefully win another one when we go back.
When NASCAR returns to Kansas Speedway this weekend, all eyes will be on 2311 Racing. They look to continue their dominance at the mile-and-a-half oval in the heartland.
Thank you, Jason. Coming up, Dave Booty and Winston Kelly will join me as we put a bow on our recent podcast series, NASCAR Live Presents 2004 Chasing History.
Kyle Larson brings his Chevy and four tires, Sunoco Racing Fuel.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR.
Money stop here for Ryan Blaney, four tires with Sunoco fuel.
From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
This is NASCAR Live. Now, back to Mike Bagley.
Welcome back to NASCAR Live. Over the last 10 weeks, you've experienced the 2004 NASCAR Nextel Cup Series season in our most recent podcast series called NASCAR Live Presents 2004 Chasing History. We ended that podcast series, and two of the voices you heard on it are with me now. Winston Kelly, the Executive Director of the NASCAR Hall of Fame, and of course, Dave Booty, who covers turns one and two here on the Motor Racing Network. WRK, welcome back to NASCAR Live. It has been quite a 10-race journey, 10-week journey, has it not?
Absolutely, and it was such an exciting season, such an exciting end to that season as well.
What took you by surprise? When we sat down with this project, we wanted to focus in on the 20th anniversary of the Chase, the playoffs. But so much more happened in that season. What do you reflect on as maybe, wow, I forgot that it happened, or that you're remarkable that it did happen back then?
The one thing that I continue to feel like is remarkable is how that race unfolded at Homestead, Miami, and seeing how close Kurt Busch came to just pounding that wall over there in front of you in turns three and four when the tire came off. And you know, Lee Petty used to say, I'd rather be lucky than second. He was very lucky that particular day. That continues to amaze me. It's a game of inches, and he survived by inches that day.
One of the things that I remark back on, Winston, is and hearken back to is some of the changes in race policy, race procedure, green-white checkers, and things like that, that popped up based on things that have happened. I've always said, you know, the rule book started as a sheet until the garage got crafty to expand it. Well, our race procedures got so crafty and what was going on in them that we needed to adjust them and change them. And we came up with that. It's hard to believe it's been 20 years.
Yeah, the other thing that when I think back on this new system that we had back when it was the Chase and now the playoffs is, you know, I was one of those old school guys thinking, I'm not sure about this. But I remember distinctly when we went to Michigan, I think there were three or four races before Richmond was the cutoff. And we were talking about eight guys that might make the top 10 and two were kind of running off and hiding at the front of the pack. It's like, hey, we might be on to something here. And it gave us so much excitement leading up to Richmond and throughout the Chase and coming down to Jimmy Johnson, Jeff Gordon, and Kurt Busch.
And the Jimmy Johnson appearance almost didn't happen. It wasn't until he went on that late race or that late season tear of winning all those races that got him back in the mix. It's interesting that we're celebrating Hendrick Motorsports' 40th anniversary. 2004 played into that, and almost that's what gave us Jimmy Johnson, old Mr. Eight-time, if he didn't fall, what, 8 points short to Kurt Busch in that dramatic ending.
Absolutely. And if memory serves me correct, they had a couple of really bad races in that 10-race stretch that could have turned it around. It wasn't just Homestead, Miami, because all three of those guys were up toward the front of the field in that particular race. But I'd have to go back and look at the stats, but I think they had two particularly bad races that really cost them in that format.
Well, when we implemented the chase, and we had to wait to see how it was going to unfold in 04, but over the last 19, 20 years or so, we are where we are now. And here we sit, you know, at the end of April, and we already have an idea of who's going to be racing in this year's playoffs. While that takes the storyline up at the end of the year, it now stretches all the way back to now, where we start to get ourselves in the mindset of, well, this one's going to race for a title, this one isn't. And it's really crafting the competition throughout the whole season, not just the final 10 races.
Well, the fact that the crew chiefs and drivers will admit they start counting points in Daytona, and I'm talking about in the duels, not the Daytona 500. They used to say, oh, we don't worry about it until we get toward the end of the year. They start counting points. And when you look at this year, you've got several drivers that were in last year's playoffs that are outside of the top 16. Joey Logano, Brad Keselowski, Chris Buescher, Bubba Wallace, all outside the top 16. So you don't think they're counting points right now? So this evolution has certainly added to excitement, in my opinion.
Well, one of the things that's also interesting, Winston, we said goodbye to Winston at the end of 2003. We brought in Sprint Nextel. That set forth wheels in motion that obviously bring us to where we are now with the Cup Series. But, you know, Unocal going away, our friends at Sunoco Pontiac going away. It was quite a pivotal year for corporate partnerships to take a next step and go to the next level all the way back 20 years ago.
Yeah, no question about it. And when you think of the 33 years that we had the RJ Reynolds Tobacco Company, and if we really calculated those dollars we were supposed to throw into the bucket when we said Winston Cup, rather than saying that it was the Nextel Cup, or when we get drivers wrong, we would have quite the savings account there to go out maybe for a nice dinner here in Charlotte, wouldn't you think?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. There can definitely be a trip to the Beef and Bottle involved in that. That's quite the, I don't want to call it the Christmas Club Fund. We'll call it the Nextel Cup Fund, as it were. Winston, we appreciate you joining us. We know you're busy at the Hall of Fame. What's going on at the Hall of Fame? A lot of folks coming to town here over the course of the next month. What do you got waiting for them when they pull onto the property?
Well, we've changed a lot of exhibits just since the first of the year. Five different exhibits have gone in, open one highlighting the Chicago street race, and looking forward to voting day on May the 21st, right between the All-Star race at North Wilkesboro and the Coca-Cola 600. So plenty to do here and plenty of new exhibits to see. Always a pleasure to be on with you guys, and look forward to seeing you in Darlington, North Wilkesboro in the next couple of weeks.
Appreciate the time, my friend. As always, we'll look forward to catching up soon.
See you later.
That's Winston Kelly, the executive director of the NASCAR Hall of Fame. Dave Moody will join us next.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is NASCAR Live. Now, back to Mike Bagley.
Welcome back to NASCAR Live. We continue our flashback of our 10-episode podcast series. NASCAR Live presents 2004 Chasing History. Winston Kelly just joined us. Now it's time for Dave Moody to step forward. Hello, Dave. Welcome back to NASCAR Live.
Evening, Mr. Bagley. Always a pleasure to join you.
Appreciate the time, my friend. It's been quite the journey we've been on. We talked to Winston a moment ago, but you know, when we sat down and we started doing this, we were focused in on the chase and the playoffs. It's hard to believe that these racing seasons, the further you get away from them, the more we have to be reminded about what happened in them. 2004 is no exception.
It seems like a minute ago, and it seems like a lifetime ago, all at the same time. You know, the series champion that year, Kurt Busch, is no longer a full-time competitor in the NASCAR Cup Series. You know, you guys were talking about how close he came with that that errant tire and wheel. I'll even go a step further. If that tire and wheel had gone about 18 inches to the left and gone down pit road instead of down the front straightaway, it's entirely likely that no caution flag would have needed to be thrown. He would have had to limp back to pit road, change that tire out under the green flag, been a number of laps down. But instead, it just frolicked its way down the front straightaway, requiring a caution flag. Kurt Busch gets to make his repairs under caution, and it's a whole new ballgame.
Kurt Busch, Jimmy Fennec, and Jack Roush were living right that day. Because to your point, if one thing in that whole series of exercises is off, just one degree off due north, totally different ball game, totally different outcome. And Kurt Busch is a 2004 Cup Series champion because of it. I want to back up to the events, though, that happened in the fall at Martinsville. And when I sat down and I talked to the folks at Hendrick Motorsports about the plane crash at the Martinsville Speedway, you could tell that there was a time at the beginning of their comments where the healing had happened, but it also, the deeper you went into the interviews, the hurt is still there. And that's something that they've lost a lot of valuable folks and a lot of folks that mean a lot to them. And while time does heal, you never forget and you never get fully beyond something of that scope and that magnitude that happened in Southwestern Virginia on that Sunday afternoon.
The wound may heal, but the scar remains. And that's going to be a part of the history of Hendrick Motorsports till the end of time. Nobody that was there will ever forget that day. You know how it is. You know, there are secrets, but there aren't secrets. And it's a pretty closed little society. And, you know, word starts to get around a little bit before it's even substantiated at the end of the race. It was a very emotional day, one that I'm sure Rick and, you know, obviously Rick and Linda Hendrick will never forget, but the entire Hendrick Motorsports family, that was the start of a good period of turmoil and just having to gut it out. You know, Mr. Hendrick coming to the shop a few days after losing his son and saying, we're going to keep going. We're going to keep fighting. We're going to win more races. We're going to win more championships. And we're going to do it for those people that we lost. It's really an amazing story.
I just reflect back and working up to that championship race at Homestead, completing it, falling short of the goal, but having that moment to exhale after they left Homestead that day. Obviously going into a holiday weekend and then, you know, the days and the months and the years that have passed, it's just absolutely amazing to think back and just try to imagine what those folks were feeling in that time and in that place. You know, 2004 also marked the entrance of Kyle Busch, Martin Truex Jr., and Carl Edwards. Those three drivers didn't do too shabby for themselves now, did they?
They were okay. They came around eventually. No question about it. Yeah, three amazing talents coming onto the scene at that time. You know, Kurt Busch having his premier season in the game. Jimmy Johnson, as you and Winston were talking about, coming just that close to being an 8-time series champion. You know, and it's funny, he won 8 races that season. But the race I remember most, the race that impressed me the most for Jimmy Johnson and Chad Knaus, was the first race of the playoffs at what was then New Hampshire International Speedway, now New Hampshire Motor Speedway. If you'll recall, Jimmy Johnson got in trouble early, and he piled it firewall deep. Well, okay, maybe not firewall deep, but deep enough into the wall at my feet in turn two in the first race of the playoffs. And we didn't know how these playoffs worked at that time, but a lot of people said, well, that's it for Jimmy. That's it. It's over. He's done. Well, they dragged that car back to pit road and they worked on it. And they dragged it back to pit. And every time the race slowed down, they were back on pit road working and working and working. And they took a car that legitimately should have finished dead last that day after wrecking out in the first 10 or 12 laps. And they finished 11th at the end of the day. And for me, that really personified what was so great about that Jimmy Johnson, Chad Knaus partnership, that even they had the ability to turn a disastrous day into an 11th place finish. And those points that you earn, the difference between 38th and 11th are just as important as those bonus points you earn for winning races. And they did a lot of that too, including four of the last six. But to me, that 11th place finish was as big as anything I ever saw them do together.
And then here we are 20 years later, Jimmy Johnson has gone on to win more races, more championships, retired as a full-time driver. He's run IndyCar, come back to NASCAR part-time, and has been inducted into the NASCAR Hall of Fame. This is where I'm going to segue off into 2024 speak before we let you go. Jimmy had a day of tough sledding at the Monster Mile this past weekend. One driver that did not is one James Dennis Hamlin. It looks like to me, I'm curious to get your thoughts, based on what we saw at Dover this past weekend and what we've seen already, this has turned into Gibbs versus Hendrick, but I'm thinking this is morphing into almost Hamlin versus Byron and Larson. Where are you on the current setup and state of affairs of things?
I agree 100% with that. And if any one of those three drivers slash teams that you mentioned finds a way to be consistently as good as they can be, it's going to be hard to guard them, because all three of them have gone to victory lane. Hamlin now has gone three times. Byron has gone three times. You know, Larson's not far behind. But they have a bad habit of tempering those wins with a 28th or a 33rd. If they can do, well, what we've just been talking about Jimmy Johnson and Chad Knaus doing in their heyday, turning their bad days into top 15s instead of 35ths, they're going to be really hard to guard. But it's one of the hardest things in the sport to do.
Now, this moves on to Kansas this weekend. No reason to believe it's going to stop. I have the 11 and the 5 probably going toe-to-toe at some point this weekend at Kansas. Of course, we'll have live coverage of the Advent Health 400 for you on the Motor Racing Network. You're not going to be there this weekend, though. You're going to take the weekend off, but you got something pretty cool going on. Let the listeners know what you're doing this weekend.
Yeah, I do. My friends back home in Vermont are doing a very special celebration of life for our dear friend Ken Squire. The racetrack that he founded high up in the Vermont hills, it's opening weekend at the nation's site of excitement, Thunder Road. And race day is Sunday, but on Saturday they do their annual car show and practice, and they will do a celebration of life. They're calling it, and any of us that knew Ken, as you and I certainly did, they're calling it the Kenley Dean Extravaganza. Because if you know Ken, the last thing in the world they're going to do is convene in a stuffy old church somewhere to do some singing and praying and, you know, lay a couple of sermons on us. His daughter Ashley told me when they first talked about that, she said, if we have a bunch of laughs, a couple of tears, and maybe a half a dozen F-bombs, my dad would have thought that was just about perfect. And I think that's probably what we're in for on Saturday up there.
Spot on, my friend. All of those boxes will be checked weekends, and we'll keep turns one and two warm for you. You go have a great time with Ken, Ken's family, and everybody that loved him. I know you're going to have a great time back up in New England, but we'll look forward to catching up with you back at the racetrack soon.
Thanks, Mike. See you soon.
Stay moody. Winston Kelly reflecting back on the matters of 2004, but also a little on 2024 as well. Coming up, we've got more here on NASCAR Live.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is NASCAR Live. Now back to Mike Bagley.
Welcome back to NASCAR Live. Throughout the years at Daytona, Bristol, and Darlington, they've all been circled on race fan calendars as can't-miss races of that season. Well, over the past few seasons, a new track has entered that conversation, the Kansas Speedway in Kansas City, Kansas. So how has Kansas gone from just another mile and a half to debatedly the best track on the circuit? Kyle Rickey is here to explain.
It is hard to believe that we have already reached the 24th year of NASCAR racing at Kansas Speedway. It doesn't seem that long ago that Kansas was one of the newest tracks on the scene. The year that Kansas was new on the schedule was 2001. The 1.5-mile track on the Kansas side of Kansas City became a NASCAR staple the same year as Chicagoland Speedway. While the Cup Series made their debut at the track in September of that year, the first ever NASCAR race to take place on the track was won by a rising star with a famous last name.
In his 18th NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series career start, Ricky Hendrick is going to score checkers as Ricky Hendrick and Hendrick Motorsports will go to victory lane as winners of the O'Reilly 250.
Over the next decade, Kansas became a staple on the chase for the Cup. The track's fall date was always amongst the final 10 races and the battle for the Cup Series championship. The chase era of NASCAR was dominated by Jimmy Johnson. One of the most memorable moments at Kansas happened in September of 2008. Johnson was closing in on his first ever victory at the track, but Carl Edwards would not go away quietly into the night.
The lead is down to 2 car lengths, and Carl Edwards is on the hunt, takes it way to the outside, all the way up, nearly gets a piece of the wall, gets a great run on Johnson, he's on his back bumper.
For the final time up the back straightaway, here comes Jimmy Johnson and Carl Edwards. This is the battle for the win here in Kansas. Here's Edwards, bonsai move to the bottom of the racetrack, slides under Johnson, he'll grab the lead, he's in the wall, Edwards slams the wall and Johnson cuts back to the bottom.
Jimmy Johnson comes back to the bottom as Carl drives it in too hard, he hits the wall. Jimmy Johnson is going to win today, taking the Camping World RV 400. Carl Edwards blew by him like he was chained to a stump going into turn 3, but he drove it in so hard there, Mike Bagley, that it took him right into the wall.
While that move from Edwards was the most memorable moment from the track up until that point, it was already known that the track could produce thrilling high-speed racing that intermediate racetracks were known for in that era. The success of Kansas was in full focus when the track was awarded a second race date starting in 2011. With the extra race date, the track had to consider repaving a surface that was beginning to age. The track did more than just repave, though. After the spring race in 2012, the track immediately began work on repaving and reconfiguring the speedway. In addition to the fresh pavement, the banking in the corners was changed from a uniform 15 degrees to progressively banked 17 to 20 degrees in hopes of creating more side-by-side racing and multiple grooves. The first big moment to take place on the new pavement happened in the fall of 2015 and started a feud between Joey Logano and Matt Kenseth that would define that year's championship race.
We're down to the final 5 laps here at Kansas, and here they come. Kenseth throws the block on Logano. All the way up against a safer barrier, Logano may have made contact. They're back in one.
Kenseth gets tagged and he spins. He squeezed Logano into the wall in turn 1. Logano got him back in 2, and around goes Matt Kenseth down onto the apron as the field scatters to the outside.
While that race certainly brought a lot of discussion and headlines for Kansas, the track did go into a bit of a lull after that moment. While the racing was still solid, it just blended into the schedule that was full of similar racetracks. That lull certainly didn't last long, as the track surface has begun to age, and with the introduction of the next-gen race car, Kansas has once again become a track that is circled on the calendar by both fans and drivers alike. Last year's spring race ranked number 1 amongst MRN's top 10 races of 2023. William Byron's first Truck Series win came at Kansas back in 2016, and he has noticed the evolution of the track and explains why the racing there has been so good in recent years.
Yeah, like the surface has obviously aged, and then I feel like we've had a lot of hot races there where it promotes a lot of sliding, you know, around and fall off. So I just feel like it's one of those places that has fall off, and you start the race at, you know, you're maybe a second slower than practice. So it's one of those places that just promotes a lot of off-throttle time.
Josh Berry digs even deeper on why the next-gen car and Kansas Speedway seem to be a match made in heaven.
I think Kansas just races really well with the next-gen. I think just having the different lane options, you know, top, middle, bottom, against the fence, all those, the restarts are crazy. I think it just puts on a really good race there. And it's, and Kansas is unique. You know, it's kind of at this point where it's starting to age and wear the tires a little bit. So that, there's that side of things, right? Like, you kind of got to, you got to be conscious of how you're pushing the tires and sliding the tires, which is more fun as a driver, just to know that you kind of have to pay a little bit more attention to that. So all those things together, I think it just puts on a good track as a mile and a half.
The track isn't just fun for fans and drivers. It's one of the most important on the schedule. It is so important that Jimmy Johnson made it a point to include both Kansas dates on his limited schedule for this season.
Running both Kansas events was intentional so that I can continue to build reps and help my own advancement along with technology for the race team as well. So I think we have a good plan for this year. Last year, our plan was really to focus on road course racing. We felt that was something we needed help with. Through the off season, we focused hard on mile and a halves and the performance that and gains that we hoped to improve, and thought that running a third car, at least 9 events and on basically mile and a half tracks, would help us develop and further as an organization.
That fall race at Kansas that Johnson will be a part of is so important because a win there could vault you into the round of 8 of the playoffs. With those stakes, Martin Truex Jr. thinks Kansas has become a measuring stick of sorts where only the best are able to succeed.
You know, Kansas is a really fun racetrack. It's a place where you can move around, tires wear out, it gets slippery. It's a fun place to race. And at the same time, I think it's a real, measuring stick of your cars and where you're at. It takes everything to get around there. You know, you got to have horsepower, downforce, a good setup with a lot of tire grip and things like that. So, it's a big challenge. And usually the guys that have the fastest cars are up front there. So hopefully we'll be one of those guys, because it seems like our Camrys have been really strong this year.
It isn't a surprise that only the best are able to succeed at what is now considered one of the best tracks in NASCAR. That track, the Kansas Speedway, will write another chapter in its evolution this weekend.
Thank you, Kyle. That evolution of Kansas Speedway was brought to you by Whelan Engineering. Whelan Engineering is proud to be an official partner of NASCAR and serves as the official warning lights of NASCAR. Whelan Engineering, a global leader in the emergency warning industry, has been manufacturing in America for over 70 years. We never left, and we're here to stay. Coming up, we'll close out the show by flashing back to the 2009 Price Chopper 400 at Kansas.
This is NASCAR Live. Now, back to Mike Bagley.
Welcome back to NASCAR Live. Before we head for the exits, we want to dial up the MRN time machine and get ready to be taken back to October 4th, 2009, and the Price Chopper 400 at Kansas Speedway.
Even if he catches Tony Stewart, Tony can make that car awfully wide. He won't go down easy, but right now it doesn't look like Jeff's going to be able to run him down. He's still 6-tenths of a second behind. 2 laps to go. They go back to turn 2.
Into the corner they come. Jeff Gordon still trying to play some catch-up. About 5, maybe 6 car lengths behind. Bill Elliott's car running slowly on the bottom of the racetrack as the leaders race the backstretch.
Here's Stewart and Gordon off the end of the back straightaway. The Motorcraft Ford of Bill Elliott occupying the lane down low. That forces the leaders to make an adjustment. Stewart steps to the high side to bypass the lap car.
Tony moves into the front straightaway, comes out of the line looking for the white flag. It's in the air, and he heads back off into turn number 1. Jeff Gordon still 6-tenths of a second. They go to turn 2.
Final time into turn 1 and 2. Tony Stewart, who was so hot at midseason, lost a little bit of momentum down the stretch. He's looking to get it back this afternoon in Canada.
Jeff Gordon's got 1 final shot at Tony Stewart. He's not close enough to make the move. Stewart comes to the entrance of turn number 3. He's looking for the checkered flag here in Kansas.
Tony Stewart proving that he is going to be a contender for the championship this year. He'll pick up 39 points on Jimmy Johnson in the championship chase, picking up the win today in the Price Chopper 400.
You can listen to that race in its entirety by subscribing to MRN Classics wherever you listen to your podcasts. I'd like to thank Rajah Karuth for joining us on the show this week. I'm Mike Bagley. For the rest of the MRN crew, we thank you for joining us as well. Don't forget, NASCAR Live, wide open Thursday. Another download available for you. We can't wait to join you live from Kansas this weekend for triple header coverage. And we're back next Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern time, with another edition of NASCAR Live. Until then, so long, everybody.
NASCAR Live is a production of the Motor Racing Network, with studios in Concord, North Carolina.
and was brought to you by Toyota. For the latest Toyota racing information, visit toyotaracing.com. Today's broadcast was produced by Trey Downing, Pat Jaggers, and Julian Council. The executive producer for MRN is Ryan Horn. Remember to visit MRN.com for all of the latest news and information. NASCAR Live is produced under an exclusive license with NASCAR. Any use of the accounts and descriptions contained in this broadcast must be with the express written permission of NASCAR and the Motor Racing Network.